We offer these Stations of the Cross with Father Tim's brief meditations to strengthen our faith and resolve amid fearful days. Please join us online Easter Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. But now on Good Friday, we pause to listen and weep and pray.
The first station, Jesus is condemned to death. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. As soon as it was morning, the chief priests with the elders and scribes and the whole council held a consultation, and they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him to Pilate. And they all condemned him and said, "He deserves to die." When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Then he handed Jesus over to them to be crucified. God did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. We remember on Good Friday the last day, the last hours of Jesus' life. But sometimes we don't remember that Jesus was not just condemned to death standing in front of Pontius Pilate. Jesus was condemned to death the instant the Father, out of love, sent the Son to become one of us. That's what we say every Christmastide. That the Son became human and dwelt among us. We don't always think about it in our Christmas festivities, but it is true that the very human shadow of a very human death hung over the manger in Bethlehem 33 years before Jesus stood before Pilate. That death was a foregone reality, even if Jesus would have lived a long life and died peacefully in his sleep. Jesus is condemned to death, not when he stands in front of Pilate, but when the eternal Son of God becomes human. Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up to joy, but first he suffered pain, and entered not into glory before he was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.
Second Station. Jesus takes up his cross. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. Jesus went out bearing his own cross to the place called the Place of a Skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. Like a lamb, he was led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is mute, so he opened not his mouth. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.
The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. 700 years before Jesus, the prophet Isaiah speaks of a lamb being led to the slaughter, a suffering servant who does not even open his mouth. That foretells the suffering Messiah, Jesus, in Jerusalem during Holy Week. The seer of the book of Revelation, John, looks back at Jesus' suffering and sees a lamb who was slain and then receives power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. What Isaiah does not fully know and understand before Jesus, John of Revelation understands after. those witnessing Jesus' suffering most likely just saw a tortured rabbi whose life was being cruelly stamped out. They could have no way to know and understand what God had planned next. How often can we see suffering and darkness and death and not see or understand anything past that? But God knows. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose beloved Son willingly endured the agony and shame of the cross for our redemption, give us courage to take up our cross and follow him who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen.
Third station, Jesus falls the first time. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, and was born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him, and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. Come, let us bow down, and bend the knee, and kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is the Lord our God.
Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Jesus is struggling under the weight of the crossbeam. He's already been tortured. He's already exhausted. He's already suffering deeply. And he struggles and he falls. We understand in the church that this is not just the exhausted and suffering Jesus losing his balance. This is Jesus bearing the weight of not just a crossbeam, but of human sin. Human sin accumulated from the very beginning of the story through his own day, even to our day, and including our sins that we add to the weight that he carried. Let us pray. O God, you know us to be set in the midst of so many and great dangers that by reason of the frailty of our nature we cannot always stand upright. Grant us such strength and protection as may support us in all dangers, and carry us through all temptations, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Fourth station. Jesus meets his afflicted mother. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. To what can I liken you? To what can I compare you, O daughter of Jerusalem? What likeness can I use to comfort you, O virgin daughter of Zion? For vast as the sea is your ruin. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended.
A sword will pierce your own soul also, and fill your heart with bitter pain. In the last 2,000 years, Christians have gone through countless theological arguments about Mary, the mother of Jesus, her place on earth, her place in heaven, her place in salvation, her place in our devotions. On Good Friday, Christians of all backgrounds and denominations hopefully can put those technical arguments aside and simply watch Mary, the mother of Jesus, watch her son suffer. She had been told 30 years before that he would be special, that many would be saved through him. She received at least one angelic visitation, maybe more, we don't know. But whatever comforts she may have received, whatever miracles she may have witnessed, nothing prepared her for this. And today, we just sit and grieve with Mary, the Mother of God. Let us pray. O God, who willed that in the passion of your Son a sword of grief should pierce the soul of the Blessed Virgin Mary, his mother, mercifully grant that your Church, having shared with her in his passion, may be made worthy to share in the joys of his resurrection, who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen. The fifth station, the cross is laid on Simon of Cyrene. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. As they led Jesus away, they came upon a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. We suspect that Simon of Cyrene stood out in the crowd. Perhaps he was tall, perhaps he was broad, perhaps he was strong. The Roman soldiers simply drafted him from the crowd. It's not as if he could say no. And he picked up the crossbeam that had driven Jesus to the ground, and he walked with Jesus to Golgotha. Sometimes we have noble motives, we have a plan, we have a desire to help others, and other times we are just, well, in a certain place at a certain time, and we are asked or told or compelled to simply help someone else carry their burdens. Whether it's our idea or not, it is part of our Christian calling to respond to those sometimes unexpected opportunities and unexpected circumstances, even and especially when they're not what we planned on and not what we chose. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, whose blessed Son came not to be served but to serve, bless all who, following in his steps, give themselves to the service of others, that with wisdom, patience, and courage they may minister in his name to the suffering, the friendless, and the needy. For the love of him who laid down his life for us, your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Sixth station. A woman wipes the face of Jesus. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. We have seen him without beauty or majesty, with no looks to attract our eyes. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. His appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of men. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that made us whole, and with his stripes we are healed.
Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Show us the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved. As some of you know, this scene is not in the scriptures. It's been handed down, whether it's legend or has a fragment of truth, we don't know. According to tradition, the woman's name is Veronica, and she reaches out and wipes the blood and the sweat and the tears off of Jesus' face in a single courageous act of mercy in the midst of torture. What did she see? Did she know she was looking into the same face that was born in Bethlehem? What did she know she was looking in the face that had been transfigured by blinding, heavenly, uncreated white light just a short time before, overnight in the Transfiguration? Does she realize that she is looking into the human face of God? Does she realize that she is wiping the face that Christians hope to see when we wake up on the other side of death? Her act of courage and mercy is still remembered. We hope to see the same face one day. Let us pray. O God, who before the passion of your only begotten Son revealed his glory upon the holy mountain, grant to us that we, beholding by faith the light of his countenance, may be strengthened to bear our cross and be changed into his likeness from glory to glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Eighth station. Jesus meets the women of Jerusalem. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. There followed after Jesus a great multitude of the people, and among them were women who bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children."
Those who sowed with tears will reap with songs of joy. Even on his way to the cross, Jesus tells the women who are weeping his fate to weep for themselves and for their children. Could it be that Jesus understands that Jerusalem's days are numbered, that the temple will not stand for too many years after his crucifixion? Or is he speaking to not just the women who were witnessing his walk, but to all of us? Perhaps we are called not just to weep for Jesus' suffering, but to weep for our sins. Those tears and that gift of tears can be holy things when they bring us back to God's love. Let us pray. Teach your church, O Lord, to mourn the sins of which it is guilty and to repent and forsake them, that by your pardoning grace the results of our iniquities may not be visited upon our children and our children's children, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Tenth Station. Jesus is stripped of his garments. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. When they came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink, mingled with gall, but when he tasted it, he would not drink it, and they divided his garments among them by casting lots. This was to fulfill the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, they cast lots for my clothing."
They gave me gall to eat, and when I was thirsty, they gave me vinegar to drink. Jesus has reached the end of the road. The path ends at Golgotha, a cul-de-sac, an abandoned stone quarry just outside the city gates. Everyone in Jerusalem knows where it is and what it is, and what the Romans use it for. There is nowhere else to go. There is no escape. Jesus is probably too exhausted, bloody, in pain and shock, fearful of the few hours that he has left. He may not know or notice that some of the rock quarry walls have openings for tombs. Some of them, no doubt, are sealed by large stones. Jesus is stripped of his garments. His humiliation and shame is almost complete. Let us pray. Lord God, whose blessed Son, our Savior, gave his body to be whipped and his face to be spit upon, give us grace to accept joyfully the sufferings of this present time, confident of the glory that shall be revealed, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The 11th Station. Jesus is nailed to the cross. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. When they came to the place which is called the skull, there they crucified him, and with him they crucified two criminals, one on the right, the other on the left, and Jesus between them. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "He was numbered with the transgressors." They pierce my hands and my feet. They stare and gloat over me. The Roman soldiers knew what they were doing. They had done it before, and they were experts at it. Very quickly, Jesus would have been spread out, and the hammer blows would have come quickly, one, then another, then another. And then he was raised up. For 3 years, Jesus had taught and spoken about a world turned upside down, when the poor will become rich, the last will be first, the first will become last, the self-righteous will be discarded, and now it seems as if everything he ever spoke about is over. no one who sees his bloody arms on the cross can imagine or understand that even in this final posture, Jesus is seeking to embrace the whole world. Jesus on the cross is seeking to embrace even you and me. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you stretched out your arms of love on the hard wood of the cross that everyone might come within the reach of your saving embrace. So clothe us in your Spirit that we, reaching forth our hands in love, may bring those who do not know you to the knowledge and love of you for the honor of your name. Amen.
Twelfth station. Jesus dies on the cross. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing near, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And when Jesus had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And then, crying with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And he bowed his head and handed over his spirit.
Christ for us became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Jesus finally breathes his last. If we look at the original language of Scripture carefully, when it says that Jesus cries out, it really means that Jesus screams his last. And then he falls silent and lifeless. This is no complicated theological puzzle. This is the reality that Scripture describes in brutally short words, as does the Creed. He suffered and was buried. This was not an angelic rescue at the last second. This was not armies of angels storming down to kick the Romans out. This is the suffering servant who lives as one of us and dies like one of us. It is real. And for all who were watching, it would have seemed to be final. Let us pray. O God, who for our redemption gave your only begotten Son to the death of the cross, and by his glorious resurrection delivered us from the power of our enemy, grant us so to die daily to sin, that we may evermore live with him in the joy of his resurrection, who lives and reigns now and forever. Amen.
Thirteenth station. The body of Jesus is placed in the arms of his mother. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. All you who pass by, behold, and see if there is any sorrow like my sorrow. My eyes are spent with weeping. My soul is tumult. My heart is poured out in grief because of the downfall of my people. Do not call me Naomi, which means pleasant. Call me Mara, which means bitter. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me.
Her tears run down her cheeks, and she has none to comfort her. There are no words for what Mary may be thinking or feeling when they place Jesus' lifeless body into her arms. I will simply repeat what I was told many, many years ago, that at this moment, with Jesus' lifeless corpse in her arms, Mary is the only human in history who can truly, rightfully, and completely look up and say, "This is my body. This is my blood." Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, by your death you took away the sting of death. Grant to us, your servants, so to follow in faith where you have led the way, that we may at length fall asleep peacefully in you and wake up in your likeness, for your tender mercy's sake. Amen.
Fourteenth Station. Jesus is laid in the tomb. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him, and Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb.
You will not abandon me to the grave, nor let your Holy One see corruption. The crowds disperse, the disciples flee, the women weep and comfort Mary and each other, and Joseph of Arimathea boldly, courageously goes and asks permission to take down Jesus' body. The tomb hewn in the rock, which they use, may have been just a few steps